Fidelity Crypto is built on 80 years of investing experience with the same discipline we apply to everything we do. So you can trade crypto and stocks together at Fidelity while getting industry-leading security for all your investments. That's crypto without compromise. Visit fidelity.com/crypto to get started. That's fidelity.com/crypto. Crypto is offered by Fidelity Digital Assets NA, is not insured by FDIC or SIPC, and includes risk of significant loss. Securities are offered by Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You never forget your first fan.
So how was practice, kiddo?
My mom inspired me to dream big and ask myself, what would you like the power to do? My answers helped me become the soccer player I am today, trusting my instincts and stepping onto the pitch without fear.
Bank of America Champions U.S. Men's National Team member Tyler Adams. And everyone who dares to ask, what would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of U.S. soccer and FIFA World Cup 2026.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
The Disney Plus Hulu HBO Max bundle. The best in entertainment in one bundle. This month, stream Disney and Pixar's blockbuster family favorite, Hoppers on Disney Plus. FX's critically acclaimed The Bear, Season 5 on Hulu.
Everything's either going to be okay
or not.
And Season 3 of the HBO original series, House of the Dragon on HBO Max.
You have power within your grasp.
Get the Disney Plus Hulu HBO Max bundle today. All of these and more streaming soon. Plans starting at $19.99 a month. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler, Grant Bills alongside, as is Paul Emig. It's a Thursday. Ah, fuck, Tim. Tuesday. Maybe because I said something other than random in front of Tuesday, my brain wasn't adjusted to saying a different thing. Before we get started, if I may, I would like to share a story. And I share this story for what I hope can be a piece of advice as well. Because I think sometimes in our lives, I think a lot about worrying, right? We worry a lot about things and you spend a lot of time worrying and then the thing doesn't happen. You worry so much, you almost want it to happen to justify the amount of time you spent worrying on something.
Sure.
And sometimes when you worry, you're so laser focused about the thing you're worried about, and then you have blinders to any other problem that may emerge. Okay. So the last time I had an annual checkup, well, let me take you back. When this podcast started, I clocked in at about 220 pounds. I eventually got that up to a good 235. And my doctor had been with me on that. Now, this is about weight loss, so you must say journey. And then I show up one physical with a pep in my step as I'm 185 pounds.
Wow.
Good. And he, this is last year now. And he is like, what have you been doing? Almost as if to share the gospel with other patients that may be having a hard time. I say, well, my work hours, I inadvertently fast overnight and I've been getting my steps in and I'm really trying to focus on my weight. And 185, I felt great. And there's no better feeling. It's maybe a top 10 feeling. When your doctor, you can tell he's proud of you.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the dentist and he's like, guess what? No cavities. But then sometimes they go, you have a cavity, and they're like very disappointed.
Oh,
like, why'd you even come here, you cavity mouth filled fuck? So I was so focused on my weight, and I was already bummed that he was gonna see a little more cushion pushing on me. And I stepped on the scale and I just didn't want to be over 200. 200 to me, I don't like that I'm in the 190s and I'm hugging 200, but I can't get back over 200. And the doctor scale is typically more than what I experience at home. And I stepped on that scale and I was 197. And I thought, you know what? That's what I was laser focused on. I'm still not where I was. I don't think he's not going to be disappointed in me. But I feel good that I at least didn't come in here at 200. So as I'm focused on this, I don't understand what other problems there could even be in my blinders. And it is my dishonor to report to you today that I am one full inch shorter than I thought I was. I did my weight, and then I did the height. And I've been walking around saying I'm 5'10 and a half. And I am 5'9 and three quarters.
It's not a full inch shorter than you thought.
The difference between knowing I'm 5'10 and knowing I'm 5'9 has been as hard of an experience as I've had, despite being laid off two times by the same company and suffering through massive anxiety, depression, and addiction. 5'9 and a half. Now I could still, well, no, I still would be unable to work on 24 because Kiefer's 5'7 and he never let anyone taller than him on that show. Everyone is shorter than 5'7 that's been on 24.
The show 24. For a moment there, I thought you were referring to a local Milwaukee news channel. You mean the show with Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes.
When did that show end, by the way? Or is it still on?
I mean, through memories and physical media, everything's ever, anytime. Okay. But yes, it was off the air maybe a decade ago.
Sorry, continue.
Well, let me just quick interject too and just say there were so many things as you paused and you said, it is my dishonor to say it, to report that I am. I had so many.
Yeah, don't do that.
I figured you were going to come in comedically. That's your tone. But I had so many.
If there was like a real problem with me, I'd be like, Grant Paul, great to see you. I'm Bart. I have brain cancer. Let's get to it. That's how I would do it.
You're right. You would. If it was a big deal, you would downplay it. If it's a small deal, you would upplay it. But several of the comments I wanted to interject in that moment would have absolutely required Tim in post. I kept them to myself. Continue on your story.
We'll make Tim earn his paycheck. That's fine. But sorry.
What were your comments like? Downstairs, growing up related?
What?
My doctor still never touched my penis. I thought he might this time, but he didn't. He knows me from the radio. So right away there was a, you're not touching my penis.
I thought that would make it more likely. Hey, I love your show. Drop the pants.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a mental pretzel that I'm going to think about today.
Which part, Grant?
Do your doctor still touch your penis?
I try to go to the doctor as infrequently as human. That's my largest fear in the world, is being at the doctor. The way it smells, the way the air feels in those buildings.
Grant, what do you think? Grant, what do you think my opinion is on going to the doctor? More or less?
Weekly.
Yeah.
If I could, I would. Yeah.
You want to hit your deductible by St. Patrick's Day every year.
Yeah. At the latest.
It doesn't matter.
I got a really good one. Go on. Hold on. I was going to get the laugh track, but for Paul, a doctor a day keeps the doctor away.
I like it.
That's all right.
Keeps a different doctor away.
Yeah. All right. So that's my story into the Winklerverse on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, brought to you by Carl's Place, brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. We're going to be doing things with Tom's Watch Bar this World Cup season. Ooh, I don't think I can. I'll edit that in post. For the big soccer tournament, we're going to be doing some things, and I'm going to be bouncing around. I would like to go highlight other bars as well. Like, I want to know where, because last time I did this for Milwaukee Pro Soccer, RIP, one really good day was when I went to the Croatian Eagles soccer fields, and they had just like this Knights of Columbus type hall where 150 people were packed in a place watching Croatia. And I want to find things like that in Milwaukee. So if anyone has any tips, please let me know, as I'll probably be the only one in Milwaukee, nay Wisconsin, nay America, that is attempting to do a post-game show for the USA games. So you can join us Friday night for that. Paul?
All right, we're going to do it. And then we're going to brainstorm a Bartometer together on the same topic.
Okay, Paul.
I'm very excited about this topic. I always hope that I can come in with something that I'm fascinated.
I want a topic one day that you're not excited about.
I usually have one or two each week that I'm like, I wish I had someone to talk about this with. Oh, this is so wonderful. I do. Here's the first. There were at least 10 people at game 3 of the NBA Finals who were more famous than anyone on the court. There were at least.
Yeah.
Like we can go through. I want to do
a bar. Well, no, you got Wemby.
I know. So Wemby is like, he's on the, like, if you know, if you're going to do like a top 8 or a top 10 barometer, Wemby's like, I've done my research, obviously. You guys are just learning about it right now.
You didn't tell me that we were doing this, Paul.
I'm sorry, Rosilla. We'll get through it together. There were at least 10 people at game 3 of the NBA Finals more famous than anyone on the court. Bart's initial instinct is We can do a Bartometer on who the top 10.
Danhausen was there.
Danhausen somewhere in the top 50 of celebrities. By the way, the official Madison Square Garden, which puts out a celebrity list, I learned last night, like an official.
Yeah, they are really weird about it there.
96 is officially the number of celebrities that Madison Square Garden officially said. There were 96 celebrities here. Apparently, this is a thing that they put out.
Did they list them all?
Yes. I don't think it's like publicly accessible, but then they shared the number of 96 with. And then there were some people who were at the game, I learned as I was doing this research, that like didn't appear on screen, but were there and were interviewed by something, but not.
Well, I got a list of a few names that if you didn't see game 3, here's who was there.
Okay, good. I have it too.
Obviously. 45-47 was there.
Correct.
Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Chalamet. Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Fey. Tracy Morgan.
Jay-Z.
Chris Rock,
Jay-Z.
John McEnroe. Larry David. Stabler and what's her name?
Who? Mariska Hargitay.
Olivia Benson. Mm-hmm. And then Christopher Milani, Derek Jeter, Eli Manning, Jay-Z, you said.
Yep.
Fat Joe, Skip.
Cardi
DJ Khaled, Zoran Mamdani, John Stewart, Patrick Ewing, Jeremy Lin, friend of show, Danhausen, Cardi B.
And by the way, you haven't said, but I think should absolutely be included, Shaq, Charles Barkley.
Ernie Johnson. Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Nice pregame interview, by the way, I thought. It was nice. It felt big with them there. It felt so much bigger than Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins and Malika Andrews.
When the halftime show came on with the Inside the NBA, I almost said like what plane am I on? What planet am I existing in? So who is in that list? Victor Wembanyama is the most famous basketball player.
Yes.
I would not consider Towns. I wouldn't consider Brunson to be anywhere near top 20.
I agree.
I have Brunson around like 25. As the next basketball player, active current.
Are we talking world, USA, Milwaukee, St. Francis, Cudahy, Bayview?
I think we should say global.
I'd say then the Wemby one makes it difficult.
Yeah. I guess we don't really have a great global sense. Let's say
you said 10 people.
There are at least 10 people inside Madison Square Garden during game 3, more famous than anyone involved in the actual game.
One more qualifier, if I may.
Playing in the game. So
one more qualifier.
Yeah.
Do I go up to someone? Do I say, sir, do you know Victor Wembanyama? Do you know Ben Stiller? Or do I show them a picture?
Good question. I actually, because I'm super cool, tried to define in two sentences or less, like, famous. How would we agree? Like, famous means what? That was just how I was trying to work it through in my head. But I think part of that is, like, you would just recognize, like, your wife would recognize this person. Your kid would recognize this person.
All right, well, then my answer is,
A person in their 20s, a person in their 60s.
Trump. Stiller, Jay-Z,
Chalamet,
Barkley, Shaq.
I think Shaq for sure. Barkley, I might
Chris Rock,
Wembanyama. Chris Rock's above him.
John McEnroe is above him.
No, I'm putting Wemby ahead of McEnroe. I think Larry David's ahead of Wembanyama.
Larry David's big in the GIF game on Twitter. I think that helps him. Genuinely.
I think the highest
that
Wemby could be is 9.
Yeah, I have like 9 or 10 is the absolute, like, if you really want to be generous.
What an interesting question.
And I would say that this is, there's no way this has ever happened before, that any sporting event has ever had, give or take, 10 people more famous watching than playing. The Super Bowl is packed with celebrities, but the Super Bowl, more often than not, is going to still have Brady and Mahomes and Kelce and, like, more famous people, I think, in the global sphere of sports, at least right now, than Wembanyama, Brunson, Towns.
Cardi B, I don't want to, you know, she could be up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's someone I would know. And, like, I don't have as much of, like, a, you know, Chalamet, but I know Chalamet's top 10. I don't, like,
What?
No, I'm saying he is.
No, I'm saying you, well, I don't know Chalamet. How is Chalamet not number, what do you mean you don't know?
I'm saying I would think someone in their 20s would, okay, you're actually proving my point. I didn't even mean that about you, would be more like, well, duh, about Chalamet, whereas I might be more like, duh, about Ben Stiller.
Grant's not in his 20s. Grant's in his pre-30s.
True. Ben Stiller, to me,
and to people enough to know that it should, that Chalamet's in there, even though I haven't, like, you know. And by the way, like, the Kendall Jenner thing, I'm sure plays a big role in saying, oh, he's clearly the most famous or one of the top
even
three
other people up in that booth. Jim Dolan.
Dolan? No, I don't think he's ahead of Wembanyama. But
it's Kylie Jenner. And also, I think a lot of people my age, my first blush, if you say Ben Stiller, the first thing I think of is Night at the Museum.
Oh, interesting.
Which is a while ago. You know what I mean? Like, he's very, I think going to Knicks games keeps him, at least in my world.
What about Stiller Soda, his brand of.
Where he, for some reason, goes into grocery stores to sell it. Yeah.
Howard Lutnick.
I don't know who that is.
We don't, let's, yep. Mm-hmm. He was there. Sitting next to Mariska, right?
Well, other people, there were people in the administration.
So who's more famous? Wembanyama, Jeter, Eli. Rank those three. In the United States.
Eli.
Jeter.
Slice of America. You pick 50 people from each state across the country. I honestly think Eli.
Do they recognize? So which one's the most recognizable? Eli, Jeter.
Wemby's 9 feet tall.
What if you did Eli,
looks like your insurance agent.
Headshots. People would know Eli. Most people would recognize Jeter. I think Wemby would be farther down the list.
Yeah, I think too.
Oklahoma and Kansas exist. Like, I know we look at Wemby and we're like, well, duh. Like, yeah, fuck, Brilliant exists. Like, forget about Kansas. Like, drive an hour outside of Green Bay and that little horseshoe up there. Like, I don't.
You know when people look at that map of the United States, when they, like, what goes on here, Montana, Dakotas, Idaho, Wyoming. There are probably 50-mile radiuses, maybe bigger, where an NBA game has not been on a television since Michael Jordan played. I would wager.
It's possible.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that.
Eli.
Is that partially the football, Grant? Like, a football player is usually just going to outrank a baseball or basketball player of similar.
And he's a Manning.
He's a man. You know what I
mean? And he's American.
Yes.
Great point, too. Honestly, that he's a Manning is not nothing for sure. All right. So, should we barter meter it?
I think we kind of did.
Should we order them?
Yes. That's why I want to do that. Yeah. I really want to work our way through the.
Trump Chalamet would have to be 1-2, right? I would think.
So, Chalamet's above Jay-Z?
Currently, I think yes.
I mean, you're talking about a whole. I don't think Chalamet is top five.
Oh, yes, he is. I don't even, like, he's, like I said, Grant will have a stronger reaction to that than.
Dude.
I think Chris Rock, Ben Stiller, Jay-Z are going to be more recognizable around the country than Timothy Chalamet.
So I'm actually going to say,
possibly,
I think my number two, I think my battle for the two position is Shaq versus Jay-Z.
Shaq. Shaq.
I know we see Shaq a lot, but he's a one name, 7 foot.
Shaq's two.
I think he's two. I think it's, I think he's two. I'm going to put Jay-Z three, Chalamet four.
Coincidentally, I think there's large swaths of America that would not recognize Jay-Z, but if you ask them about Jay-Z would tell you that they,
if you went out to them and said, Hova, they'd say, oh, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
That's Hova? What he says. All right, did you never listen to 03 Bonnie and Clyde on repeat?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. By the way, Chappelle was there. Where does Chappelle ahead of Wemby?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, right?
Yeah. Okay, here's a topic for you.
Okay. We got through our top four. We should keep going, but go ahead.
You really want to rank them out after that? You go ahead.
You can do your thing, but I really do.
All right, so Trump, Shaq, who's three?
I'm going to nominate Jay-Z for three.
I'll let you have it. Fine. Take Jay-Z.
Then let's put from four to six, Stiller, Chris David. Rock. What about Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan?
Larry David. Larry David, please.
Above Tina Fey. Larry David above Tina Fey. Both are wonderful.
So my question is, unless you and me and Grant need to stone in who's number eight.
Ideally, yes.
Are there people there that we're not even saying yet that we forgot?
Mike
Breen?
Dude.
Bang.
Bloomberg. Like, I don't know.
Michael Bloomberg. Ari Emanuel.
Yeah.
David Zaslav.
Yeah.
I feel like David Zaslav is only known for people just hating him.
Yeah. Like, no one ever talks about him ever. And then he's courtside at a game and they're like, Wait a minute, that guy.
Like, when has anyone ever been like, you know, like, when has there ever been the other side of the coin with Zaslav? I feel like everyone just dumps on him.
At the last Thanksgiving, we prayed for our good health, our safety, and the continued large bonus checks for David Zaslav, Warner Brothers Paramount.
Yeah.
So transition to your topic, and maybe it's right on the same point, but I guess my underscore is, I can't imagine it's ever happened that a sporting event has had no one playing in the game be more famous than the 10 most famous people watching it.
All right. So my question is, which current NBA players crack the top 10?
Yes. I thought about this too. LeBron, certainly.
Steph.
Yep.
But how high is Steph? I think Steph is below several of those.
I think Steph falls in the 7 to 10 range. LeBron is...
But is Steph across
bigger than Trump?
Wait, was Stephen A. there last night?
No, Stephen A. was there. I had him on
he's
my
list. He's top 10.
No, he's not.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You didn't hear? He had to leave it like 2:30.
Fuck! Fuck! Fucking Christ! Jesus!
What?
Cramp.
Cramp?
Oh, my fucking Lord! What? Right in the back of the hammy. What is this? What is in the back? Quad?
Yeah. No, quad's in the front.
Hamstring. Hamstring.
Woof!
Just a pinch?
Fucking non-contact podcast injury? How?
Wow, that was unexpected. Stephen A. was there. I don't think he cracks the top 15 or top 20.
I don't think there's any other player that I would put in the top 10.
So, by the way, when you say
Harden, Giannis, Jokic, Luka, Durant, I don't know.
Tina Fey is not more famous than Steph Curry.
Who's not?
Tina Fey.
No, Tina Fey's not. But Tina Fey's not in my top 10.
She was in Bart's.
I ruled her out. I put in Larry David.
I didn't put that in stone.
Oh, okay.
He's still workshopping. But see, Steph Curry, though, is not a crossover star, is he? I mean, I know he's huge in sports, huge in sports. But
what does crossover mean? What is he crossing over into?
Entertainment.
What, like LeBron is more famous because he did Space Jam?
Yes.
Curry's got the number one kids basketball movie of the year,
but he's not in it.
But he is the voice of it.
But who knows that? Who does that add to his, like, I'm more famous now because I voiced a movie in GOAT?
I think every kid playing basketball knows that Steph Curry ruined the game by shooting threes.
how high? So Giannis is there last night, let's say. Giannis ranks where?
Who was the video? I brought this. I think I showed you guys
this. Wait, hold on. Grant's pondering. I'd love to know the answer to that.
Good, because I don't care. You're not worth my time then.
Okay.
Eight-ish? Also, thanks for your time today, guys.
Tom Brady is there. Tom Brady ranks where? Top five?
Yeah, Brady's ahead of Eli and Jeter. And
yes. Yes.
Is Brady ahead of Charles Barkley?
Yes. I don't think he's ahead of Shaq.
Charles Barkley's top 10.
No, I don't think so.
But he's above Wemby.
You think Barkley's above Wemby?
Uh-huh. The round mound of rebound?
Who does your kid know, Wemby or Barkley?
Or Danhausen?
Or
my kid's six, Paul.
But I'm just saying, like, I think we need a flavor of, like, we need a generational flavor. So, like, who would your wife know?
Charles Barkley.
So, I mean, I'm trying
to... The age of kids that would know Wemby and not know Charles Barkley is, like, 6 to 9.
So once you're 10, you know Barkley if you know basketball.
Or maybe even sooner. He's on TV, and then at some point, once your kid's into basketball, you know, you're not just going to be like, all right, let's watch the current stars. You're going to be like, I need to tell you about Magic Johnson, son. You know, I need to tell you about the 96 Bulls. Every time I talk to somebody about how my kid knows wrestling, you could show them the entire WWE.com roster. You have to go to the 53rd wrestler before he doesn't know who the War Raiders are. Meanwhile, everyone's always like, so you got him watching Macho Man videos, right? No, yeah, that's we're watching Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker. Okay.
Is the most famous baseball player in the United States, is the most famous baseball player Shohei in the U.S.? And if yes, or whoever it is, does that baseball player crack the top 10 at last night's game?
Shohei is Shohei v. Wemby.
I
gotta say something because somebody is criticizing, and they did a big tweet on it today. The way I say verse or verses.
Oh, I don't know who brought this up, but God bless whoever did. Thank you to person.
What am I doing wrong?
It's verses.
What do I say?
Verse. Bucks versus Bulls.
Who gives a fuck?
I don't bring it up.
Two people, it sounds like. Two. And one.
My kid always says V, and I try to tell him, no, it's verse or versus. He goes, no, it's Bucks v. Bulls. Bucks v. Bulls.
See, but you're abbreviating that. That's fine.
I would rather you say
verse is an abbreviation of versus.
No, it's not. It's just the incorrect pronunciation of the word.
No, verse is V-S.
No, V-S is versus.
So why can't I say verse?
Because it's wrong. You can. You're allowed to.
I could do anything, but this is the Winkler verse.
That's a different word.
You want the Winkler verses?
No, we don't.
Into the Winkler V. Is that what you want?
That's a totally different
program. People want to come into my V.
Into the Winkler V is a very different program. What was your topic? You had something like 6 minutes ago about this celebrity thing, maybe. But so Shohei versus Wemby.
That would be top 10.
Current players. So where does Mahomes and Kelce go?
Kelce's pretty darn high because of his New Heights podcast, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his 3 touchdowns last year.
It's hard. It's hard to break in. I mean, Derek Jeter and Eli are at that game last night and not in the top 10. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you think it was overdone?
What?
The whole thing.
No, I think this. I think one of the stories, other than the series is still, you know, going, it's not 3-0, at which point it'd be over, is like everybody of notoriety felt like was there. Like how it was more like who wasn't there? I mean, I know it's ridiculous.
I remember a couple years ago when it was Yankees Dodgers in the World Series, and I was like, okay, these are the two big market teams. I want to see how high these ratings get. And it was a shitty 5-game series, and I think it capped at like 15, 16 million. Last night in many ways was ridiculous.
Yes.
The ticket prices.
Yes.
Insane.
Yes.
Grant, your point about Could the Spurs just be the Flint Tropics? Does it matter who they are? Like, it doesn't matter. They're not a part of the story, which they were always obviously going to win that game. I made a quick $21, son. But then I also put my left arm up on Twitter, and I won that bet.
That a boy.
I don't know what I would have done with it. Probably backed out, like when I was going to eat a hat.
That's right. Who did Horvat shave his head on a bet during the show?
Yeah.
And he actually did.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
But this elevated the finals to a whole new... Sorry, Tim. This elevated the finals to a whole new level.
Yes.
Especially because the Spurs won.
Yeah. Spurs needed to win that game.
Yes, they did.
So last night felt, I would say, for a singular non-game seven game.
Yes.
In any professional sport, last night felt like the closest to a Super Bowl that we've ever had.
That's a great take.
Thank you.
This was the biggest non-Super Bowl sporting event in our lifetime. Non-game seven.
Well, World Cup, Olympics.
What is it?
Boxing matches. There's other things you could throw.
I'm just
talking for the professional sports that play seven-game series in a non-game, and there's many qualifiers now, but in a non-game seven, Game three of the 2026 NBA Finals. That is, however this series ends, unless it goes seven, game three will probably be the one that pops up first.
I mean, the president was there.
And, which created a full day story about the area surrounding the arena.
Oh,
and
it's great.
The whole thing was just, I mean, it was a humongous event. Like, Bart, you've talked in the past about how society and obviously like currently lacks these marquee, we all gather around the TV, we all do the thing together. And for a Monday in June, like you couldn't have, like Adam Silver from the business perspective, like you couldn't have possibly hoped for a bigger marquee, everyone gathers around, something is happening tonight moment. And it delivered. So if you did, and then you gather around, and it's like a Super Bowl, and it's like, yeah, but it was a blowout and
13-3 Rams.
You know, commercials weren't good, and but every aspect I felt of last night was great, and it delivered.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great spectacle.
Yes,
a media event. Yes,
and great basketball on top of it. Which
the basketball was fine. I actually remember very little of the actual basketball from last night.
Well, that makes one of us. I would like to break. Well,
we'll do another long form on this another time. But can sports have that kind of moment without the spectacle?
No. Not the crossover. Again, like, something's happening tonight, crossover appeal.
What are we crossing over to? You keep using that word, and I don't understand what it is.
Different genres, sports, politics, entertainment, fashion.
Okay. Now I understand what you mean.
Crossover.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How many people know about Paul's boy Mike Hill, just from Real Housewives?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you have anything? Did you watch the Brewers game, Paul?
I mean, I'm very familiar with what happened, but no, this is one I unfortunately missed. I know it was a spectacle of its own.
Grant, do you have any thoughts on the Las Vegas ballpark that they played in, where the dude's home run, Kurtz's home run, was a home run in zero of zero parks?
I went to bed early. Here's my take. I could live with the dimensions and the thin air and the home runs, but then the ump can't be a mess and the camera angle can't be bad and the infield can't be a parking lot. Like, there were too many things that made it not feel like a baseball game. You get one. Like, at Coors, you get one. The ball's going to fly. But the infield can't be way different and too hard, and the camera angle can't be sideways. And the ump was a disaster, which, by the way, last night's a perfect example. If you have the take that I have, which is like, actually the problem isn't a lack of challenges, it's just one or two really bad umps. How many challenges were there last night? Didn't help. Because there will never be enough challenges to fix a bad ump on a bad night. And last night's a good example. So I didn't stay up. Because there were just too many things. You get one thing, maybe two, and there were like six things.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I made it to the 11th, and then I'm like, and I ended in the 12th, but I'm just like, why? What do I need? Well, I've seen what I was interested in.
Yeah.
This game quite possibly could never end. Anyway, Paul.
You want to, so I do want to do Brewers. Do you want to do the thing we were arguing about via text, or do you want to talk about like big Luis Lara contract extensions and how the Brewers are capitalizing on this Atlanta Braves strategy? We can go whatever direction interests you.
Well, the point that I would make with Lara, like
you weren't arguing because you were indifferent. But, oh.
The point that I would make with the Lara extension or any extension is it just takes another guy off the table that they might trade.
Does it though? Does it take him off the table to be traded?
Ooh, okay, maybe not.
Probably yes.
Why? I mean, if you're the acquiring team, you would love to have that control too. Wouldn't that be if you were the acquiring team, if you're the Tigers and you're going to do some major.
But why wouldn't the Tigers just trade for a guy and then extend him themselves?
But that's what they would presumably want to do. And it's like, oh, thanks for taking care of that. Again,
whenever people get excited about prospect extensions, to me, it's just the same as like, oh my God, this 3-star linebacker didn't go to Florida. He's coming to Wisconsin instead.
I don't agree at all. I mean, and that's not just because I'm indifferent about like college recruiting topics, but the Braves 10 years ago with Albies and Acuna and like, I feel like there's one more.
Yeah. And when's the last time they even won a World Series? Oh, a few years ago.
So all I would say is the more that I get these alerts, whether from Spencer or from the guy who stole it, Jeff Passan, I want more of these. I want 6 more Brewers to be signed this offseason who have never played a major league game. Like that should be your strategy.
Does the strike impact them in any way? Do you think they're doing this because of that?
I mean, if I was the prospect, I think it makes, you don't know what's on the other side. So if you're being offered $31 million with a maximum of $79 million and you've never, first off, you might get to the majors and be bad. One, two, like what is after do teams hesitate post new CBA, or is it a totally different landscape? Is Luis Lara
trajectory as a player? I think the 60 game season in 2020 messed up guys for 2 or 3 years after that.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard this, but baseball players are creatures of habit, Paul.
I've heard that. I don't remember where.
Do we like that the Brewers are willing to invest in guys that we don't know if they're going to be good pros? And then at the pro level, we like don't want to give anybody more than $800,000 a year, even if they've proven success.
Well, but that's changing too. So, I mean, talking about like things changing, isn't that one of the big changes that's being proposed is the minimum salary goes from like 800 to like I thought like double. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I thought like the minimum went substantially like 2x up, which makes if your minimum, let's say you're Lara and you're called up next year, whether you've signed the extension or not, you're up next year. And now that number is 1.6 and not 800. Like even if you're his agent, you're like, well, hey, by the way, it's 800 now, but it might be 1.6 next year. Yeah, but you don't know that. Like, give me $31 million guaranteed dollars. And at the same time, if you're the Brewers, it's incredible business. It's the smart, savvy thing to do. And I think that would be true whether or not you had the Mets payroll, the Dodgers payroll, or the Brewers payroll. I think it's just the right thing to do.
It's not that large of a contract either. Like,
no,
the average annual value is very reasonable. Like, they paid him like a 4th or 5th outfielder.
Yeah.
Well, my frustration is, okay, so you've paid Cooper Pratt. Now you've paid Luis Lara, which will put him on the 40 man, I believe. When are these guys going to fucking play?
Hey, you can never have too many players. You know, guys get hurt. There might be something.
Well, yeah. Sure. Yeah. But you clearly like Cooper Pratt that much. So, like, when is he going to
play? We got Keon Broxton and Domingo Santana. How are they both getting on the field?
There's only one baseball.
Hey, Grant, Grant, are you being facetious at all or about your comment or your question?
Like, no!
So, I mean, you are about as anti-Frelick as a guy can get. So, like, you don't want to have Lara ready to come up and say, okay, great. Now there doesn't have to be this commitment to everyday starter or most day starter Sal Frelick. I mean, the Cooper Pratt, or even, like, if you bring in Jet Williams, who doesn't have an extension, The left side of the infield is garbage. Like, as soon as these guys are ready to have, like, these – wait, what?
Hamilton is improving. Here's the problem, though. Like, I don't want Luis Lara up here as a sixth outfielder. Like, no, I want him to play.
Yes,
if Cooper Pratt's coming up, I want him to play. You're not going to put him in a timeshare with Joey Ortiz, who's already getting benched. Like, he has been benched for David Hamilton.
And that's why they're not up, though, isn't it? Like, isn't that the reason? Is because, well, then they're not going to come up and start every day.
So I also think they want to trade Renifo, which they can't do until this week or something.
Yeah, right. It's coming up.
And they're winning. They're winning. So they're like, well, we don't need to do anything at the present time if we don't want.
Is playing in Las Vegas going to cost Kyle Harrison an all-star bid? 414-799.
I do not think so.
By the way, if I think the answer is just obviously yes, and it won't happen. But if the A's made the World Series, are they playing the games there? Yes, right?
I don't think they know.
They don't know the answer to the hypothetical is if we make the World Series, we don't know where our home games are?
Last year, I think they were going to try to have a first-round series in Sacramento. I thought there was some talk about then having the World Series in San Francisco.
At what, like, you know, what?
But, you know, if you're an A's fan and they leave, just fucking root for the Giants. Doug Russell told me that once.
That's true.
I do remember that, actually, now that you say that.
Yeah, it really pissed me
off. You can't host a World Series game. They didn't have enough press box spots for Todd Rosiak. They were sitting in the bleachers.
I saw that. Running
power strips out there.
So is there not a – what was the story there? I know you're being somewhat like – but there's not
a – No, I'm not. That was the picture that I saw.
Yeah, I saw it too. But have you learned, is there just not a press box? And so you just sit out in the left field area?
I don't know. All I know is that if you think watching as a fan last night, that was your nightmare, back and forth into the wee hours. Imagine being a writer watching that game. I mean, how many times is the script going to flip? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very niche complaint here. But nothing pissed me off more when broadcasting high school football than having to cram in or not get a spot in the press box because the two defensive coordinator staffs of the high school team needed to sit up there in their rooms. Fuck you. Set up my fucking Marty and get the fuck out of here.
Can I give a bigger complaint of broadcasting high school football? Is when you're in the press box and it's one big shared space, but the guy whose kids graduated 40 years ago needs to come up and bullshit with the scoreboard team, and it's 40 degrees and the wind's howling and this asshole keeps coming in and out to check in with the other old timers like it's a barber shop. That annoyed me. And I'm trying to be Joe Buck and my broadcast is sacred. I'm fucking cold. It's 40 degrees in October. Shut the door. Stop coming in here to hang out. Sorry.
You want to talk about the other thing?
You can if you want. It's your show, the Winkler Versus.
Yeah, it's your verse.
It's your V.
Do you guys remember the Versus Network?
Just yes.
Side note.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think WWE was on there, right?
That's the perfect
one. No, they were on Spike.
They were on Spike, but they were not on Versus?
It was like racing and professional fishing. That's what I remember. Car shows.
Well, prior to that, it was the Outdoor Life Network. And prior to that, it was TNN.
I remember.
They were probably on TNN.
It was on TNN. That's a fact.
The Nashville Network. That's what that stood for.
I don't think I would have gotten that.
Adam McKelvey wrote the article about the Trust Club.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I read it, and it, because they're building something out in right left field, right?
Right.
Upper right field. Yeah.
Over there on the other side?
On like the gold parking lot side area.
Okay. And I thought, okay, there's a club where people can hang out. I thought that was fine. Then I saw Front Row Amy bitching. And I didn't understand. I didn't get it. I didn't understand what she was complaining about. So I did what most people should do to start, is I finally clicked on the article and read it. And the seat, if you buy a ticket to the seat, you get access to that club, but then you also get access to the seat. Now they're going to redo the first six rows to make the seats wider and more premium.
Cushiony.
Yeah. So if you have a club seat and then a club section, not the worst thing in the world, right? You buy a seat, you get a section, you get a – I don't like the distance here.
Okay.
The distance between seats are going to be empty a lot. People will be in the club.
I don't agree. I mean, I think if like
– these seats are going to season ticket holders.
Mm-hmm.
And so sitting first six rows behind home plate is an experience many Brewers fans will never get to have.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's at like a Little League final that Miller Park hosts.
Sure.
And so now you're taking that away, even the chance of it.
Why?
Making it less likely of a chance that they'll ever sit there.
You just think it's more expensive now?
Yep. And it's going to be empty a lot.
Why do you?
I don't want to go to. I get it.
What do you get?
I'm
not arguing. I want to understand.
And I'm not right here, probably, because I'm a snob myself. I'll pay $50 if I can get a good seat on SeatGeek to sit lower than I would normally would. Meanwhile, some people are like only going to Brewer games if they can get BP vouchers and sit in the 400s. So I can't, I don't want to be, but when you go to a baseball game, it's like, hey, want to be reminded of class warfare? Those are all the people that you are better than because you're sitting lower, but there's all the people that are better than you in seats you're never going to get. And I want to sit in right field for once. I want to sit on the field. I've never sat there. I don't know how I'm ever going to get there.
Do you mean like in the bullpen thing?
Yeah. There's place you shouldn't. I don't think you should buy a ticket to a place and then see seats that are so unattainable to you ever sitting there.
Well, I mean, we can talk capitalism if you want. I don't know how to take that question or that topic. Other than,
but I also understand. Like, I understand why luxury seats. I understand why. I mean, if I want that kind of experience at a baseball game, I should be, and I can afford it, I should be able to get it as well. I understand that.
What would they be that expensive?
So it starts at so the starting row six is $265 per seat. I think it's per game, per person, per seat. So I think
my biggest issue on this is
twice.
They're changing something that was there for 25 years.
See, you in general, though, and I think you know this, I don't think you'll be taken aback. You don't react well to change ever. Like that's not bad.
I don't either.
Bad or good. It is what it is. Like even just like it's slightly different topic, but the baseball rule changes, you all, correct me if I'm wrong, Bart, you're now all like, those are all good. For the most part, if not entirely, that at first you were like, bad, this is bad. What McKelvey's article confirmed that I assumed, and apparently is true, is other than the A's, aforementioned, the Brewers were the only team that didn't have this. So, like, are we just a minor league club? It's us and the A's. Like, good for us to not have something that's differentiated and above.
I don't like watching baseball games, and every time you do, you see the first six rows, like, oh, there's Mary Hart's seat. I don't like that the first six rows have become an exclusive club. So if you want to have,
wasn't it already though?
I don't know. I just don't like it behind home plate. That's my big gripe.
But obviously, those are the seats that the people who are willing to pay $265 plus would want to sit, and so thus it should be there. The other thing is, and again, maybe you think more people won't be in those seats. I'm guessing because you think because you said they'll be in the club, but they can also get the free stuff at their seat and have it delivered. So if you're there to still watch the game, if you want to like an all-inclusive area at the stadium, you don't have to sit there.
They're going
to
be empty a lot. I'm telling
like
you
right now. There's like four or five different areas throughout the ballpark that have.
These motherfuckers are already scamming me on a $6.50 lemonade. I don't want to fucking see.
Now that is something you should. That's a good investigation. That's a worthwhile one.
It said $6.50. It said 650. Then the tax said 730. And then I paid 812. What the fuck? What the fuck?
The Brewers are just catching up. And like with the rest
robbing us, like the rest of these grocery stores.
Your lemonade thing. I'm talking about the trust club thing. The lemonade thing you should investigate. The trust club thing is just like you're keeping up with the Joneses. And if you want to be, you know, minor league in all these areas, like, okay, but I don't know why you would want that. Bring in more money.
Like, okay. Two more quick things.
Yeah.
The tailgate on August 6th, I'm going to do in the afternoon. How many tickets should I say I think I'm going to get? Do you think 100 people are going to come to my tailgate? Is that too many?
What was your number 4, 3, 5 years ago?
50. But if I like actually give a damn and try to make it something.
Yeah, but you, will you? How hard are you going to try? I think that's, how hard are you going to, how much time are you going to put into it?
I don't know. TBD. The other thing is, any questions about banana ball?
I saw one tweet from you about it. I don't remember what it said. It must have been enthralling.
You go to a game. The kids are going to have fun. It's a different experience. They packed the stadium two nights in a row. They probably could have sold out a third or a fourth. I don't know if they keep coming back every year. It's a sellout every year. If this is like, I want to do it once kind of thing. The dancing is way too fucking much.
Well, that was the tweet I saw from you.
And I told Carlos this, but the thing that irritated me the most, I'll tell you, and I got to go full screen for this, so you guys will just see me, is they would have the Jumbotron would be framed where the batter was in the middle like this, but then, and the Jumbotron the entire time was the batter, but then there'd be guys behind him dancing the whole time. So the dancing, if you want to dance after like runs and stuff, that's fine. But basically you had people on TV dancing for 2 hours and it was just too much. It was too much.
They have created a sporting event for a generation of iPad kids. This is what we've created. TikToks and iPads, just a lot of stimulation, which by the way, it's for kids. It feels like they took the, you remember the Wiggles, Bart? Mm-hmm. It just feels like they put that into baseball. It's for the kids.
Cool. And I do, one thing in business I do respect is when somebody finds a niche that people didn't know they didn't have filled. And they found like this thing that is filled.
They create a demand.
Just like apparently there was a demand to read fucking press conferences about sports radio and there was no centralized site for it. So guy makes a website and he's a hailed king of sports radio.
There are some shocking similarities there, yes.
Well, his conference is going to be, there's going to be 10 more famous people at his conference, and there's going to be at the fucking game 3. You're going to have Brandon Tierney and fucking other people in the same room.
Clay Travis going to be there?
Yeah. Stephen A is going to be there.
Hopefully his upcoming debate with President Trump won't interfere.
Oh, yeah.
Does Stephen A, like, whatever, I don't want to get into it. It's just so lame. He doesn't smile anymore. He seems miserable.
How do you get tired? When does he breathe?
It's the same with Skip Bayless. When they were together, like, it seemed like they were both kind of in on the bit. We give each other a hard time. I'm going to pick a fight with you. You're going to say something crazy and I'm going to laugh. And we're like, now they're both of them are just psychos.
You can't make a career out of yelling all the time. You'll get exhausted and beat down. I'm telling you. Ah, another one. Jesus.
Another hamstring cramp?
All right, boys. Good to see you.
It was great to see you. Paul, fun topic on the game. I wouldn't have thought to think of it that way, and that's why we love you.
Good.
Glad Paul, see you tonight.
Let's do it.
Paul game?
Yeah, take me out to the Paul game live tonight.
Sorry, were we not? Tim?
No, I said I'd see him. I probably should have brought it up earlier then.
Well, this will be a treat for the people who made it 53 minutes in.
And thanks for joining us for the last hour. Grant, what would you like to promote?
Nothing.
I'd like to promote my stuff 50 minutes ago, but thank you for stopping into the Winkler V.